Welcome to Paradise Found. I'm sure many listeners have read or have heard about the famous book, Paradise Lost, from the 17th century English poet John Milton. It is an epic poem in blank verse. The poem concerns the biblical story of the fall of man, the temptation of Adam and Eve by Satan, and the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. In this podcast, I present a viewpoint claiming the story of Adam and Eve is allegorical, and the paradise of Eden is a metaphor for the entire earth. So next time you are in your favorite place, close your eyes and imagine a paradise. Then open your eyes and realize that you have found it. Then consider what is causing our entire planet to not be a paradise. You will conclude the obvious, which is all the negative, evil actions of many, many, many people as the root cause. It's time to start working together, maximizing unity and expanding on the subject by discussing realistic and effective solutions. You can find more information in the directory of all my podcasts as they are released under my website for my book with the same title at www.paradisefoundbook.com. The book is divided into 12 chapters named after the months of the year with four podcast episodes per chapter.
That you will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of your ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God. President Johnson, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chief Justice, President Eisenhower, Vice President Nixon, President Truman, Reverend clergy, fellow citizens. We observe today not a victory of party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing an end as well as a beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our view, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom, and to remember that in the past, those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and villages of half the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves for whatever period is required, not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right. If a free society cannot help the many who are poor, it cannot save the few who are rich. To our sister republics south of our border, we offer a special pledge to convert our good words into good deeds, in a new alliance for progress, to assist free men and free governments in casting off the chains of poverty. But this peaceful revolution of hope cannot become the prey of hostile powers. Let all our neighbors know that we shall join with them to oppose aggression or subversion anywhere in the Americas. And let every other power know that this hemisphere intends to remain the master of its own house. To that World Assembly of Sovereign States, the United Nations, our last best hope, in an age where the instruments of war have far outpaced the instruments of peace, we renew our pledge of support to prevent it from becoming merely a forum for invective, to strengthen its shield of the new and the weak, and to enlarge the area in which its writ may run. Finally, to those nations who would make themselves our adversary, we offer not a pledge, but a request that both sides begin anew the quest for peace. Before the dark powers of destruction, unleashed by science, engulf all humanity in planned or accidental self-destruction. We dare not tempt them with weakness, for only when our arms are sufficient beyond doubt can we be certain beyond doubt that they will never be employed.
Welcome to Paradise Found, and this episode is March, week number 3, And the title of this episode is Righteous Leadership. In this episode, I will discuss ways on how to distinguish good or righteous leaders from those who are destructive, divisive, and or just pure evil. Righteous leaders are sincere about bringing unity. They are required for all of us to find a common ground to protect and preserve our paradise of earth. Unrighteous leaders are insincere about bringing unity and are selfishly that their party will maintain power. They are evil and cause great division. Open your spirit and come to know your potential. You might find answers in the least expected place. The definition of righteous is morally upright, without guilt or sin, and doing or according with that which is right, yielding to all their due, just, equitable, especially free from wrong, guilt, or sin, holy. Can we determine if a leader is righteous or not by examining the words they speak? I believe the answer is yes. I just played recordings of several speeches in other episodes, either by the real person or an actor playing the real person, who were righteous leaders, who were Lincoln, Washington, and Dr. Martin Luther King. What you just heard is the first 10 minutes of JFK's inaugural, which I believe is also righteous. Can't you just feel it? This is the speech where he makes a statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And that happens towards the end of that speech. I thought this beginning was it was illustrative to his greatness. So I just recorded the first 8 minutes. And so for fairness, I wanted to play the first 8 minutes of Biden's 2022 inaugural. I think people who will listen to this speech will see a stark contrast between JFK and Joe Biden, who I believe is not righteous. He could not be more divisive or unrighteous, in my opinion. His speech is full of attacks on the working class. By far, the biggest difference in the Kennedy speech is the amount of energy he puts into his faith in God and into liberty of the individual. He refers back to all the struggles Americans have fought for in order to have the people run their own country, not the government. He started writing his speech right after he was declared the apparent winner, and there's proof he composed his speech from handwritten notes that they have kept. You can just feel his sincerity, and you can from other speeches that I played before. So let's give a listen to Biden's inaugural speech given on January 20th, 2021.
My fellow Americans, a moment we have all been waiting for. It is now my great privilege and high honor to be the first person to officially introduce the 46th President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden Jr.
President Harris, Speaker Pelosi, Leader Schumer, Leader McConnell, Vice President Pence, my distinguished guests, my fellow Americans. This is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve through a crucible. For the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge. Today, we celebrate the triumph not of a candidate, but of a cause, the cause of democracy. The people The will of the people has been heard, and the will of the people has been heeded. We've learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed. So now, on this hallowed ground where just a few days ago, violence sought to shake the Capitol's very foundation, we come together as one nation, under God, indivisible, to carry out the peaceful transfer of power as we have for more than two centuries. As we look ahead in our uniquely American way, restless, bold, optimistic, and set our sights on the nation we know we can be and we must be. I thank my predecessors of both parties for their presence here today. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. And I know the resilience of our Constitution and the strength of our nation, as does President Carter, who I spoke with last night, who cannot be with us today, but whom we salute for his lifetime in service. I've just taken the sacred oath each of those patriots have taken, the oath first sworn by George Washington. But the American story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people who seek a more perfect union. This is a great nation. We are good people. And over the centuries, through storm and strife, in peace and in war, we've come so far, but we still have far to go.
I had an English professor when I went to junior college, and he would say to our class to avoid using what are called quote-unquote buzzwords. They're basically used with writers to try to impress readers with something that sounds great, but really contributes nothing to the meaning of your writing piece. And I guess we could also say that there's quote-unquote buzz sentences, which have the same effect. You know, growing up and listening to rock music, I never really listened to the lyrics, and the music and the words just sounded cool, and it wasn't conveying anything meaningful. Today, I don't consider the music that I really love so much great pieces of art, but simply good entertainment. I'm not sure Biden even wrote his speech, and I believe that probably not. If you have just been elected president and you want to sit down and write a very compelling speech, it's very difficult. You want to put the sentences together to convey complex thoughts that are uniquely yours. Speech writers will always go after the buzzwords or sentences. Like the great rock song, it pleases a crowd who loves that type of music. Or for politicians, they say things to please a certain ideology. How would you grade these two speeches in terms of providing a sincere, complex, and powerful ideas that make you feel that if the president is righteous? I mean, seriously, I give John Kennedy an A+ and Joe Biden an F-. It is factual that John wrote his speech because there exists those handwritten notes. No such documents exist for Joe Biden's speech, as far as I know. So I believe the entire thing was written by a speechwriter, and Biden just reads it off a teleprompter, versus Kennedy, who was looking down at his composition. By far, the greatest division lies in the fact that the Democratic Party and the deep state used instilling hate on their base, insisting that the working-class Americans are either racist, homophobic, transphobic, all the different phobics, fascist, or a combination of them all. They support hate groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Black Lives Matter are communists, and Antifa members are young, stupid, brainwashed, hate-mongering children who do not know the definition of fascism. Both groups are behaving like Hitler's brown shirts. Keep in mind that Biden is fully aware of the voter fraud that got him elected, and America is no longer a democracy. I'm really not sure why I have to convince people that the election was fraudulent, and it is the same amount of difficulty of explaining why that climate change is a scam or COVID-19 was a man-made and Big Pharma is corrupt. It's patently clear that on January 6th, they set up an entrapment, and as I speak, men are being held wrongly in prison. The deep state is trying to destroy their lives, but they will fail. All the progressive deep state globalists and the PDSGs will cling to their short lives and pretend they are serving humanity, but in fact, all they are interested is in themselves. There is no chance of them moving into heaven, and their spirits will get lost in all the atoms and molecules of the earth. It's fascinating to study the inaugural speeches of presidents, and if you really dig deep into the meanings which this speech is trying to convey, this is not easy, but if you look very closely at the words, you can find quite easy to see they are coming from the heart. Basically, the president's speech shows whether or not he has a high degree of spiritual intelligence. For those who have not heard my prior episodes, I define three measures of intelligence: physical, emotional, spiritual. So perhaps we can measure the emotional, spiritual intelligence somehow. Like an IQ, we can measure, also have an EQ and an SQ. I also stated that all the great leaders are intelligent in all three. And evil leaders are only intelligent in the first two. So what I want to show is how to look at specific passages in Kennedy's speech and Biden's speech and how to measure their SQs. Kennedy's speech has 17 paragraphs, which are two sentences or more, and 10 standalone sentences. Biden's speech is entirely composed of all sentences, phrases, and single words. Finally, so now I want to read a passage from Kennedy's speech, and it goes like this. Finally, whether you are citizens of America or citizens of the world, ask of us here the same high standards of strength and sacrifice which we will ask of you, with a good conscience, or only sure reward with history, the final judge of our deeds. Let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking his blessing and his help, but knowing that here on earth, God's work must be truly our own. The proof that Biden's speech was done by a speechwriter is that there are no unique, interesting, or heartfelt statements. What comes to mind from a truly great leader like Martin Luther King with his statement, to not be judged by the color of your skin, but the content of your character, from Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, and it's full of statements like that that clearly show he had a very high SQ. What do I really mean by high SQ? It's just really being sincere and honest expression from people. You can really actually quite easily feel the energy of love and sincerity. And then if the statement is an idea based on common sense, it becomes extremely powerful. I also said that in the previous episode, common sense is highly intelligent. People hear the word common and think it's something not intelligent, and they think it's just, you know, common. But if you think about it, it's an ideology which everybody shares, everybody has in common. Everybody agrees to common sense, but it's a solution everybody finds and agrees upon. And it's more about, you know, 100%. We need to have unity. I repeat this many times. We truly want the same identical things. We just love to argue about creating a system to provide them to us. Everybody wants a paradise, but we have the greatest struggle of humanity on how to create it. In order for us to find common ground, it is essential that we have righteous leaders. In the next episode, I want to discuss how the Democratic Party evolved from JFK into one of the most corrupt and hateful political parties of all time. Then I wanted to discuss how to bring it back to the way it was. Regardless of what you think of Donald Trump, he was a righteous president. The corrupt deep swamp, with the support of the media, Hollywood, and large corporations, cleverly used propaganda to instill hate in you. In July's episode, I will discuss how this hate can manifest within your soul to make you only hear the words of evil. Bottom line, we cannot have a one-party system. There wasn't too much difference between JFK and Nixon, but there is a huge division between Biden and Trump. We need one party to provide constructive criticism against each other. I've had numerous arguments with liberal friends, and often I would divert the conversation to exactly why do you disagree with Trump on how he's handling a particular issue, and they would remain silent. Then they would have a childish attitude like Trump's a fascist. Then I would ask, what has Trump done or has done that would qualify him as a fascist? Again, silence. I do agree that there is a list of issues which I believe that conservatives and MAGA supporters really have it wrong. And I think there's three main ones. And the first one that I can think of is, they're taking the position of being against abortion, you know, the right to life, but they fail to discuss measures to prevent unwanted pregnancies. In particular, the inner city minorities are going to have a difficult road unless they can go back to traditional families, and stiff penalties for men who cause unwanted pregnancies. And we need to have free and easy vasectomies for men who insist on having premarital sex. These ideas are just not being discussed. Number two, they do need to do more to end poverty, which is one of JFK's main goals. However, Donald Trump did help by creating more job opportunities for minorities. And I'm sure JFK would have done something against poverty, but all the Democratic and Rhino presidents after JFK have done absolutely nothing. And number three, they have not vested into the environmental movement. There needs to be a movement for conservatives to get more educated on environmental issues and begin conversations with liberal environmentalists to find realistic and effective solutions. And I hope this happens. It's an exciting time, I think, and I think a new Democratic Party can be born. And this is the topic of the next episode. You know, really imagine what it would be like to have 100% unity. You know, and what are you imagining as a paradise? Why not put a little effort and go back to the way it was in 1960 when we were far less divided? We took on the civil rights issue and essentially solved it by Kennedy, Democrats, Republicans, and leaders like, especially, Martin Luther King. LBJ doesn't deserve any credit for it. People don't realize that over 80% of the Republicans voted for the Civil Rights Act, and only 30% of the Democrats did. That's because they were largely composed of the old South Democrats. And, you know, and LBJ was still sort of part of it. He was just sort of a middleman. Then LBJ took a wrecking ball to the black nuclear family with his Great New Society. Ever since then, the deep state evil developed back in room to manipulate elections, or beat the beginning of it. In effect, they destroyed America because they stole the will of the people. But that's the topic for the next episode. Today, everybody is on edge and wastes most of their days hating people who disagree with them, calling them names like racist, climate denier, environmental extremists, etc. Would you not rather see again something like a JFK and a Nixon? The best man won, and we moved forward. We landed a man on the moon and created so many inventions. But today, we're not inventing or creating anything of true use to humanity. As I spoke at length at last episode, we are creating things that move us away from growing our spirits, disregarding our precious paradise of Earth. We are devaluing the importance of working with your hands and getting closer to nature. Instead, we are putting our headset and immersing ourselves in Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse. Is that really going to help us? No, it's going to cause us to go insane. It's not. And the more you distance yourself from the human condition, and you'll put a stop to advancing your spirituality. I believe the first step to have common ground across the globe is to start with America first. Then, as it always has been, America will be a leader. After that, we will discuss the complex subject of restructuring the United Nations in October's episodes. I know it sounds sort of confusing, but right now I'm doing this episode, and it is October, but that's just the way that my book chapters are titled. So anyway, I first started in June with January's chapters. So, but anyway, the next step is to vote out all the political leaders with a low SQ. I believe these people can be weeded out and with a well-informed public at the ballot box. Our schools also need to be completely revamped, and that's a topic in my September episode. Again, it's so important to focus on the end game, not exactly how we are to how we get there. Don't be fooled by the PDSGs. They must be ignored. So let's focus on the first six criteria I laid out as the main issues we need to resolve the Earth to be considered a paradise. Number seven is all about bringing about unity, but that's basically this entire episode is talking about. So I want to give a brief discussion on those six issues and how it relates to righteous leadership. Number one, all creatures, including us, are happy and making the best of their lives. Okay, so for all other species besides human beings, leading happy and healthy lives is really simply optimum environmental conditions. So this requires a lot of open space and also requires optimum environmental health. But for humans, ask yourself what it really is the true source of happiness. Money, it's not money. And the desire of money is the root of all evil. No, where the happiness lies is overcoming your struggles. Each time you overcome a struggle, no matter how small or great, your spirit grows with the energy of love. You know, and everything that you create or you build with your hands or your mind or whatever, that creates happiness. It is essential to have a paradise to provide us with an endless list of motivating and interesting challenges to overcome. Imagine an Earth like an overpopulated China with no ability to go to open space, or the open space areas are so crowded that you really can't get away. You can see that your quality of life goes down precipitously. But more importantly, so does your spirituality. How do we create this? How do we get to this place? First, it starts by focusing on America and removing anyone or any agency or any study in academia which is controlled by the deep state. We have to elect MAGA candidates in 2022 and Trump in 2024. Then we have to rebuild the Democratic Party like it was in 1960. In my opinion, this is the only possible path forward. Then we can unify and start getting our heads together to solve all the issues we face. Many of these issues are discussed throughout my book, so we'll move on to the next topic, which is number two. Everybody's got adequate food, shelter, or habitat for maximum longevity. Again, for all other species, it's a matter for ecologists to solve, For people, we need to make our economy such that, for example, a single married couple, the combination of them, if they work 40 hours a week, they should be able to afford a single family home at a minimum. And as I discussed in June, people really need to take more seriously about having children. And they should have children as a married couple. And people should have more than two children if they really can't afford it. There needs to be a safety net for people. And I favor the idea of sanctuary camps. Main idea behind that is basically put people in a situation where they have to work and they are removed from drugs and alcohol. They would work low-skill jobs and the money would go into a savings account controlled by the government. And that money would be given to them when they rehabilitate themselves and are ready to leave. There would be counseling and they would be aggressively moved out in order to prevent overcrowding. Okay, so number three, all have optimum spiritual growth and no one is given a free ride to overcome their own struggles because it's an important learning process. Again, we must have a paradise to provide the plethora of motivating challenges. But more important than that, it's up to the individual to learn how to work hard and solve their own problems. People are not helped with money. They're helped so much more by having job opportunities and counseling. Again, the deep state cleverly brainwashed the lower class minorities and children to hate America and to look at MAGA supporters as fascists. It could not be farther from the truth, and they're basically working with Satan to divide the country. Anyway, they keep making statements like tax the millionaires and billionaires, knowing full well it'll not only ruin the economy, it won't solve the problem they're claiming to fix. They will keep their power and get rich, but the people will suffer the consequences of communism. So again, the deep state has got to go. Number four, money obtaining material objects is not required for a happy life, but people are free to obtain wealth as provided to those of merit only. The economic system must remain capitalist. I'm sure some of you have probably read history books about the Pilgrims, and when they first started working together, it was sort of an early form of communism. Everybody worked and they all shared the food that they grew evenly, and it didn't work because there was really no incentive to work hard. You know, and as soon as they divided up into their own parcel of land and received money based on for the food that they grow, you know, on their own merits, it worked beautifully. You know, take any other animal species in nature, and that's how evolution works. It doesn't stop. And it also applies to people. People must have the freedom to learn and get back their reward for their hard work in order to grow physically and spiritually. Okay, so number five, no poverty. And on that, Trump lowered the poverty rate more than any other president in history. And remember, that is one of Kennedy's main goals. There is no argument here. All the economic figures point this out. So Trump haters need to know this, and you will not feel so bad about seeing as president for 4 years, knowing he's solving one of the major issues better than any other president by providing more job opportunities, lowering inflation, and increasing wages. Number six, the environment of the earth is at optimum health and has a large amount of open space, critical to optimize human spiritual growth, and there are cities and suburbs built with infrastructure to not only minimize environmental harm, but to accommodate a thriving culture. I'm going to go in much more detail on this in the May's episodes, but you need to know that the deep state cares more about retaining power. So 100% of their focus really is controlling the minds of voters. Their record speaks for itself. Their social programs have been a complete disaster, and everything they claim to do for the environment really never happens. The president who did the foremost for the environment was a Republican, Theodore Roosevelt. Again, I'm going to touch on all these issues in future episodes, but I hope this provided some ideas how we can obtain common ground to be able to brainstorm for the best solutions. More and more, people will realize that truth always seems to come out no matter what, and that is something that I want to discuss later as to why. But think of the reason why Biden's son Hunter was so careless to leave his laptop at a repair shop and not simply pick it up. And why did Biden brag about an all-inclusive voter fraud system all in all of American history? The only answer is a guilty conscience. Evil people spend most of their lives hiding from the truth and not learning how to harness the power of love. As spiritual morons, they go through life faking people into making them look righteous, but they are the direct opposite. So basically, the goal of this episode is to inspire thinking of what leaders you think would qualify as righteous and those who are not. Regardless of your religious beliefs or thoughts, a righteous leader is one that takes humanity into a positive direction. The righteous goal of this podcast is to create a paradise over the entire earth. I believe we've had both righteous and unrighteous presidents throughout our history. I think Trump qualifies as a righteous and will play, perhaps play his inaugural speech in one of the future episodes. There are several issues which the MAGA movement, I believe, are wrong at, and this is why we must restructure the Democratic Party, which is going to take some time. It could happen quicker if we had some talented leaders outside the DC establishment, like Bobby Kennedy. We need to break out of the divisive mold of leaders who pathetically whine and complain about others, or take credit for other people who have no talent or creativity to offer great ideas on how to move forward. Joe Biden ran for president in 1988 and withdrew out of the election. There were all these videos of him lying and plagiarizing great people. What kind of person does that? Surely everyone remembers a classmate or someone in their lives who is always trying to oppress you with false information about themselves. That said, their entire focus was to impress, not sincerely be your friend or have an honest conversation. Like a vampire desires your blood, they desired your love and devotion. For a politician like Biden, it was all about your vote. Never think the Democratic Party of JFK era cannot be born again in America. It can and it will, and it will be very exciting, but the one thing you have to realize, it won't be easy. As for the rhinos, they're already headed to the ash heap. But we must first destroy the deep state and the extensive congressional, and we need extensive congressional hearings after MAGA takes over power in November. Get on board and get real. It's time to save America and turn it into a paradise. Next episode, I believe the deep state, how the deep state was formed, how it took over, and why we must create a JFK Democratic Party. Thanks for listening.